Well, it's our privilege to be blessed by the service of Brother Joe Panucci of Groton, Connecticut. And Brother Panucci's subject is unity and cooperation. Unity and cooperation. Brother Joe, Lord be with you.
Thank you, Brother Ruman. Sister Lucy and I, we're very delighted of being here with you in this convention, and also to have with us the Italian sisters, especially the one from Florence. One of the remarks which she made during the convention was that the Lord's people are beautiful. Yes, they are beautiful, because in them we see Jesus. After listening to Brother Krupa discourse, where he mentioned what Nero did to great Apostle Paul, I am ashamed of being a Roman. In the 133rd Psalm, David declared, "It is good and pleasant for the brethren to dwell together in unity." There are many definitions of the word unity, and each one of us can give their own definition. But very soon in this corrupt world, politically and religiously, the spirit of unity and cooperation among Bible students is indispensable. We know that there are no other people in the world who will travel long distance and make a greater sacrifice in order to be with those of like precious faith. And it is encouraging to see that the influence which brings us together to a convention such as this one is not because we like the town of Albion, or because we enjoy the ride to this place, but because we love the Lord, we love the truth, and came here with a desire to receive a blessings and also to be of a blessings. We are God's people with the knowledge of the divine plan and filled with the Holy Spirit. And there is nothing in the world that can be so precious and so inspiring a theme as the glorious knowledge concerning the plan of God and the near consummations of our hope. As we lift our mind and hearts above the turmoils and care of this world, the veil has become so thin that we almost see the glorious kingdom of God. For this, our hearts should respond with gratitude towards God for His wonderful promises given to us in Jesus our Lord. We must remain faithful to our covenant, because the consummation of all things are in His hands. And soon, if faithful, we shall see God face to face. But let us remember at the present time we are still in this valley overshadowed with death, contending with the influence of the devil, the flesh, and the harmful influence over the world. I am inclined to think that at present, to some extent, the fallen angels have been released and are exerting a very harmful influence upon mankind. As a result, we witness moral decay in our society, such as there never was before, since before the flood. The world is divided today as never was before. This very division eventually will bring them destruction. How important it is that we give a very serious consideration to the spirit of unity and cooperation. Never look for fault in others or attribute to them evil motives. We should always seek to interpret the conduct of others charitable. In all possible, make allowance for errors in judgment. In view the words and conduct of others as being a good intentions. With this thought in mind, and since we are seeking or speaking unity, let us remember Paul's admonition in 1 Corinthians 1:10-13, which he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you." Again, Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:9 tells us that we are labor together with God. But how can we labor together if we do not have the spirit of unity and cooperation? Paul used the expression endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Yes, according to the flesh, the Lord's people are imperfect, and each one is different from the other, different in nationality, age, personality, and temperament. But the Holy Spirit, through the written word, point out to the one course for all of us to follow. And it is our faithfulness in following this course that results in the unity of the Spirit. The true disposition of a humility and spirit of a love enter also into this. As Paul wrote, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." Paul specified the basic essential of our unity in Christ. He says there is one body. This is the body of Christ. Our unity of the Spirit is based upon the fundamental doctrine of the divine plan. The question might be raised as to how we are to determine what are the fundamental doctrines. We suggest that the fundamental teaching of our most holy faith are of those which can be firmly established by a "Thus said the Lord." Yes, there are certain viewpoints we enjoy, which we will find difficult to establish directly with the Bible. And these are sometimes guesswork. Perhaps we like them. And perhaps some of the brethren do not. It is also well to keep in mind that we cannot maintain the unity of the Spirit by insisting that all in the ecclesia conform to our ideas. All should want to conform to the Lord's ideas. And we can know whether or not they are His by applying the simple test of their credibility by a thus said the Lord. If the ideas which mean so much to us are not clearly expressed in the Bible, we can conclude that the Lord did not consider them important. As I've been associated with it growing in, up into Christ in all things, this is related to our use of the truth. The proper use of the truth is also one of the fundamental of our unity in Christ. One of the purposes for which the Lord gave us the truth is that we might be His ministers. We ought to hold forth to the word of life, and by doing this, to be the light of the world. And that takes unity. These are the instructions given to us through the word. And it is essential to heed them if we are to experience in rich measure how good and how pleasant is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Speaking the truth in love will help us to grow up into Christ in all things, not just one thing. We are to appreciate Christ and emulate Him in all the wonderful manifestations of God-likeness we see in Him. We are to be like Christ in patience, in kindness, in love. We are to lay down our life for one another as He laid down His life for us. We are to be obedient to the words of the truth, even as He was obedient to all which has been written concerning Him. Thus we see that the unity of the Spirit is based on the great fundamental of the faith. And the proper application of this basic truth in our lives, we ought to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, peace of goodwill among all of us, and a loving and enthusiastic cooperation in the ministry of the truth. All of us are just little tools in the hand of our master builder. And sometimes our attitude will cause friction. With your permission, my dear brethren, let me use an illustration that a beloved brother once used in his discourse. He called the illustration the carpenter's tools. The carpenter's tools. He went on to say that the carpenter tool had a conference. Brother Hammer, he was a chairman. But the committee informed him that he must leave. The reason, he was too noisy. Then Brother Hammer said, "If I'm to leave, Brother Chisel must go. He's too small. He doesn't amount to anything. Little Brother Chisel rose and said, "Fine, I'll leave. But Brother Screw must go. You have to turn him around to get him anywhere." Then Brother Screw said, "If you wish that I go, then Brother Plain should leave also. His work is on the surface with no depth." Brother Plain replied, "If I go, Brother Ruler must also go, because he always measures people as if he is the only one right." Then Brother Ruler complained against Brother Sandpaper and said, "What about him? He's too rough and always rubbing people in the wrong way." In the middle of the conference, the Master Builder walks in. And what the Master Builder said to the tools, that I leave to your imagination. I believe, my dear brethren, that every consecrated Christian loves the Lord and the truth, and there is something for him or for her to do. If the tools is rusty and complain about the other tools, then the Master Builder will find another tool. He has no difficulty whatsoever to find tools to accomplish his purpose and finish the temple of the living God, which the construction started at Pentecost and is about to be completed. Unity. What a beautiful word. But it has to be more than a word. I have found a few definitions in the dictionary. One is to share in common on terms of equality. Another definition is to be intimately associated. Another definition which appealed to me is to be together. The terms fellowship in the scripture, that is the original significance, means partnership. It is a partnership of interest in the plan of God. We participate in this fellowship, in our convention, and in every service to the Lord. It is a privilege to enjoy the fellowship with all our brethren, not just the one which we feel he is superior or very prominent, but we enjoy the fellowship with all our brethren. Looking back to the life of the early church in Jerusalem, we find that helpfulness, hopefulness, and joyfulness characterized the life of the early community in Jerusalem. In the early days following the great revival of Pentecost, it was, in a very true sense, a partial realization of Jesus' ideal of the kingdom of God on earth. All of its members were bound together by common loyalty to their Heavenly Father and the single-minded devotion to the ideal of their Master was their standard. Daily they worshipped together in the temple. Each meal in their home was shared by them all. Together they constitute one large family,
united by spirit of a goodwill and generosity. In the consciousness of a great mission, the beauty of their common life in the teaching of the apostles attracted many to their ranks. The early Christian church was an extension of the unique brotherhood which Jesus had established during his active ministry. What was true of Christianity at first has proved true throughout its history. Its significant and lasting conquests have been won through the individual personal touch, through fellowship in faith, in love, and in service to one another. As we consider our subject this afternoon, let us keep in mind the various definitions and see how they will apply in our Christian experiences. In the first epistle of John, verse 3, we read, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that he also may have a fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son." The Apostle John here divides our subject very beautifully in three parts, and if we have a time, we will consider them in the following order. First, fellowship with the Father. Second, fellowship with the Son. And third, fellowship with the brethren. In considering over the question of a fellowship with the Father, we are wondering if the definition of the dictionary is correct, which is to share in common on terms of equality. How can we possibly, on terms of equality, share anything in common with the Father? I believe that we may do this in delighting ourselves in His Son. The Scripture makes it very clear the delight that the Father has in His Son. And the Lord, speaking through the prophet Isaiah over Jesus, says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth." In the New Testament, again, the Lord from heaven declares, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." As the Father always takes pleasure in his Son, we also have fellowship with the Father and delighteth of his Son. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:9 that we may have a fellowship with him by laboring together with God. Those who have an understanding of the plan and purpose, who have a fellowship with him in the life that he has in his Son, and those who will work with him as he seeks to accomplish there is sanctification. Another expression, Paul suggests that we are to work our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:12. This passage gives us the secret as to the fellowship we may have with the Father and labor with him to accomplish our individual sanctification. It is quite clear that we cannot live no longer for worldly hopes, ambitions, aims. We must be separated from the world, as the Levites in the wilderness were separated from any lot or portion of the land, separated to serve the Lord and to own Him and to find their inheritance in Him. We must not only be separated from what the world has to offer, but also to have a constant growing desire for fellowship with Him and for the beauty of His holiness. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, Paul said, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." The word sanctification not only contains the thought of a complete consecration or full surrender, but also takes in the subsequent entire process of a transformation of a character in preparation for the heavenly kingdom. He progresses on and on in the Christian life until the character is developed and ripened. This transformation affects our mind, our hands, our eyes, our tongues, our will. And the only way, my brethren, one can understand, appreciate it, is one that has been changed. Otherwise, it's very difficult to understand or explain. It is one thing for the will to make a holy, another to bring the mind and the body fully into holiness of the will. Our most holy faith is being challenged today in these last days, tending to draw us away from this sacred condition of sanctification and fellowship with the Father. We may, by divine grace, be the present truth, yet in this blessed condition, we must not encourage any feeling of at ease or self-satisfaction, merely drifting along the Christian life. Our mind must be continually stirred up by way of remembrance. There are many other ways in which we may have a fellowship with the Father, such as the principal character of justice and love. And if we make our condolence sure, we will have a fellowship with Him eventually, with His nature. Fellowship with the Son. In Revelation 3:20 we read, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." In this precious word from the risen, glorified Lord, we have His own suggestion that we have a fellowship with Him in partaking of food together. After all, this is the way we have a fellowship with one another here on earth. When friends meet together, they arrange to have a meal together. And if a friend is expected to visit our home and share hospitality, we endeavor to arrange a meal which will be enjoyed by a friend. When the Lord knocks at the door of our hearts and wishes to come in and sup with us, it is a very searching matter for us to decide what kind of a food we shall prepare for His enjoyment. First of all, we shall not keep Him waiting Him at the door because we are not ready. We know that the food He can partake with pleasure is the one of His own providing. And if He finds our mind in harmony with the principle of His Father's character, He will delight in partaking with us and supper with us, and we with Him. I see that the chairman is here. We haven't finished. Let me make a little conclusion, my dear brethren. Yes, we are little tools in the hand of our Heavenly Father, the Master Builder. Let us cooperate with one another in the spirit of a unity and love. Let us help the Lord's people to encourage them to look with joy and confidence to the glorious hope which is about to come a reality. And may the spirit of a cooperation and the spirit of unity fill our heart and soul. Perhaps, brethren, we will continue the topic some other convention. For the time being, may the Lord add his blessings.
Thank you, Brother Panucci, for that wonderful study.
And we'll ask Brother Panucci to close this session with a prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on our supper.
Hallowed be thy holy name. With the spirit of humility and humbleness, we approach the throne of grace. Above all, Father, to thank thee for Jesus. To thank thee, Father, for thy love. To thank thee, Father, for the many blessings which thou always graciously provide for us. We thank thee, Father, for the truth which is precious to our hearts. We thank you, Father, for the fellowship with the brethren. Help us, Father, to realize the necessity in this last days of this evil world, how important is the unity of the Spirit and the cooperation of one another. We thank you, Father, for this convention. Help our Father to fulfill of our consecration and to let nothing stand in our way. Oh, we've been faithful until the end. And now, Father, we pray that thou wilt bless our fellowship, our evening meal. And once again, Father, we pray for thy kingdom, realizing this is the only hope. And Father, forgive us for anything amiss. And all these blessings and favors, we ask them in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.